Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I think we have an exciting topic, even though it has to do with death. Now, Lemaisa, I do find the shir, I think we all find it, Baruch Hashem, very exciting, very interesting. And from my perspective as a Magid shir, you never know what one shir is going to take you to, the path you go when you start learning halacha, interactions everybody over here has participating in the shir. And last week, what happened was, we were giving a shir about halachas of the fast day, which I hope was good for everybody, this past Friday, the Friday fast. So within those halachas, we ended up speaking about the concept of a fast for a yahrzeit. And the reaction that I got inside this room, which I think is typical for in general in the firm world today, was like a little bit of, oh, people do that? And when I was thinking about topics for this week's share, I thought, you know what? That's a good topic to delve deeper in, especially when I found my friend recently published a beautiful sefer, HaParsha B'Halacha. And inside there, okay, it's for this coming week's Parsha, Parshas Vayechi, one of the shirim that he gave was on this topic. And I took it as divine providence, Hashkacha Pratis. This is the perfect topic to talk about. And I figured, let's give it a try. And when I researched it, I see there's a lot doing over there. No, I'll start like this. You know, unfortunately, anyone who has a yahrzeit to mark, obviously it's a very solemn day. And it's a type of thing as years go on. Obviously, family members get to get together, spend time. That's very important. Obviously, most of all, we talk about, you know, saying Kaddish, potentially making a siyum, doing different things for the mace, for the deceased. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is the place in halacha about the concept of fasting. Fasting for the death of a loved one. Now, on the one hand, we'll see that obviously fasting is not necessarily easy for everybody, and that's something that has to be taken into the equation. But for the meantime, putting aside the element of how easy it is for a person to fast, we're going to delve into this topic. Where does it come from, this idea of fasting on a yahrzeit? I think we entitled the share, you know, fasting on a yahrzeit, you know, something different than kichel and schnapps. Okay, right. You need the herring also. Right, but normally, we talked about this last week, what's probably the most common way that people mark a yahrzeit is by serving something, food, make a bracha for the eloi of a person, the neshama, which is a wonderful thing. We talked also about, last week, we touched on the idea of a siyum, of learning something. There are people I know that spend a whole year learning with the goal to finish something on the yahrzeit of one's parents. It's a beautiful concept. They're spending time and time again. And then there's this other very definitely much, not too common, people fasting. So I want to talk about this concept. Now, first and foremost, let's start by the Gemaras. Where is Is this concept mentioned anywhere in the Gemara? An idea of fasting on one's yahrzeit. So this I didn't put on the sheets, but there's a Gemara comes up both in Nedarim and Shavuos. Shavuos comes up on Chafim and Beis. We know that a person could make a neder, he could make a vow, he could make a shvua, he could make an oath for things. And practically what that means is a person, you know, a guy's going on a diet, and okay, he wants to pump up his diet. Now, usually we don't say to do this. Usually we say you should always try to do things b'li neder, without a vow, because vows are motzei svasecha tishmar. It's a iser in the Torah if one would violate a neder. It's a big deal. So a lot of times we say, even tzedakah donations, you pledge, you say b'li neder, because you don't want to get involved, right? The whole Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, we focus, you know, from the time really from Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do Atar Sandarim. On Yom Kippur itself, the first thing we do is called Nidre. A person's vows are a big deal. But the Gemara talks about, okay, let's say a person did make a vow, right? You know, I got to go on a diet. I'm making a vow. I'm ossering Krispy Kreme donuts on myself. But the person uses language like the day my parent passed away. The Gemara's case is even more direct. The Gemara says, I'm not going to eat meat or drink wine like the day of my father's passing. That's the language of the Gemara. So comes one of the Rishonim, the Truma Sadashin. And he says, you see from here a source for fasting on a yahrzeit. Because the Gemara is giving an example. This is a valid form of describing an iser. Maybe even hatfasa. Not really. But a valid form of describing a prohibition a person is putting on himself. I want to prohibit meat to myself. I'm going on a diet. Prohibiting meat, just like the day that my parent passed away. So the Truma Sadashin says, you see from the language of the Gemara, there's such a thing as a fast day, the day that one's parent passed away. Now, if this was a clear-cut Gemara without any room to negotiate, so then I would think, if you stopped right here, then the substance of a fast would be much stronger, because there's a clear Gemara that talks about it. Rishonim push it. But already, part of the pushback, why it's not so simple, is the Gra says, you don't have a ride from that Gemara. He says, what the Gemara could mean is the following. The actual day that a person's parent passes, on that actual day, it's usher, it's prohibited to drink wine, to eat meat. So all the Gemara means is a person says, I want to prohibit wine on myself, meat on myself, just like the actual day that one's parents passed. Not the yahrzeit. The Truma Sadesh and others are reading that Gemara referring to the yahrzeit. Yes. The Gra says, no, this is referring to that halacha. Really, we actually saw this halacha, also not so well known, right? When the day that a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to the Makom HaMikdash, we've been through these halachas, important halachas, and one rises, one tears Kriya. That day, it says, a person shouldn't eat meat, drink wine. Now, the same, it's that day. So let's say a person would go in the summertime.
Why in the day of the death is that different than the year of the day of the death and year of the
So time. I'll explain that in a moment. Excellent. Just even for the day a person sees the Chorban, he goes to the Kosel, and you could have this. The guy gets, you know, takes the plane to Ben-Gurion, goes straight to the Kosel. Right after the Kosel, I'll go out to a nice meat restaurant, still within the same day. One shouldn't do that. Because this halacha, that the day that one's parent passes away, that you're tearing kriya, should be viewed as such a sad day. So yeah, you can't have meat. As opposed to a yahrzeit, There it's debatable. It's a year past. It's 5 years past. It's 50 years past. It's not the same. So the actual day, it's a the way I understand that, it's a higher level of respect. The day that one's parent passes away, yeah, that you can't do. So for sure, also to eat meat and drink wine. And similarly, we would say the same thing when going to seeing the Malkum HaMikdash. A person really should tear Kriya when one sees that. It's like a day of passing. So yeah, you can't go out to a Falashik restaurant right away. Now, you could do, as long as it's after Shkia, you go one's before sunset, one after sunset, that would be okay.
So the Gra doesn't say anything restricting in the consecutive future year sense, right?
Correct.
There's no restriction.
Correct. He says not only, you can't prove from this Gemara that concept.
You go Friday afternoon.
Correct. There's no avelis then. Then you wouldn't tear Kriya, and of course you could eat Shabbos.
On a regular day, if I'm planning to go out to the hotel, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, can I eat meat for lunch?
Beforehand?
Before I go to the hotel.
Yeah, yes.
Even though it's already scheduled in the day.
Yeah, because you didn't see it yet.
What if you don't tear Kriya because you've gone 2 times recently?
Very good point. Right? For those who are on a trip and you've gone recently, within 30 days, so then, yeah, that day's free. You're just davening there. It's only once in 30 days, if a person hasn't been by the kosel, there comes up this halacha of tearing Kriya.
What happens if you go Friday afternoon, so you can't tear Kriya, and then you go Monday? You have to tear Kriya?
Excellent. And the answer is no.
You got around it.
Yes. 100%. Yes. Now, so in terms of a source from the Gemara, that's not crystal clear. Some want to bring this Gemara in Shavuos and Nedarim, but the Gra says it's not mukhrach, it's not provable. But you do find in Shulchan Aruch this halacha. If you look on your sheets, and Yerachmiel, we're talking about looping Shirim, I'm sure I'm going to come back to this halacha later in the year, not too far away. Look at the halacha. This is Arachayim Simen Tov Kuf Samaches, the laws of fast days. And he writes, Siv Zayin, Kishi'ira Yom Shemes Aviv O'imo Ba'adar. Let's say a person has Yurtzeit in Adar, Va'ashan Mubaris, this year, and it's a leap year. So there's a big discussion, when do you mark the Yurtzeit? Right? Yeah. Now look at this. We're learning about the halachos of tainis, of fast days, and what's a nafkamina of a fast day, the halachos we're talking about. Oh, the day that one's parent passes away, if the yurtzeit's in Chodesh Adar, and you have a year which is a leap year, okay, will the real Adar please stand up? Which month do we mark it by? And there's a whole discussion about it. Now, perhaps, I assume we're going to get into this topic as we get closer to Adar. But what you already see from here is this is on the table. The Shulchan Aruch is bringing this concept of a fast for a parent's yahrzeit. We'll show it even clearer. Halacha Ches, skip to. Ein tzarich l'sa'anos el b'yom misas aviv v'lo b'yom kvura. You don't have to fast except for the actual date of a person dying, but not the date of the kvura. There are many times where there's a separation between the two. And really both parts hold their own significance as a sad day, and to be marked, perhaps, as a tzad one might say, both days it should be marked, and maybe both days you should fast. To which the Shulchan Aruch is saying, you don't have to do both. You only have the main one is the day of one's passing. But you see clearly from the Shulchan Aruch that he's assuming that one is fasting on the day that a parent passed away. Black and white. Right, but you can mark that on the calendar. You're right. The year, in other words, if any time a person passed away, if there was a gap between the death and the burial, for all future years, in theory, one could mark both days. And the Shulchan Aruch is coming to say, let's say it was 2 days in between. One day, there's a tzad to say, I should fast, you know, a person should fast Sunday, he should fast Tuesday.
What do we hold as your tzad now?
Just the day, right, that's the Shulchan Aruch is coming to say. It's just the day of the death. Fascinating.
On a day of Patira, if it's 3 or more days, the first yard site is on the day of Kavura. The second day is Brit Macholikus.
This is fascinating. Right? What Rabbi Berger just said, in case the home audience didn't hear, is there's an interesting nafkamina where the days are split, the date of the death and the date of the Kavura. People bring down, for the first yard site, there are some that say you mark by the day of the Kavura, assuming it's in close proximity, let's say the next day, from the date of the death. What's interesting, it's only for the first year.
That's really making
that
a challenge.
Right. It makes it complicated.
Yeah.
Now, normally, this is his own topic, but we try whatever we can to have a burial as quick as possible to the time of the person's passing. And you're right. Once you start stretching things, besides of all the issues for the mace, halachically, it can make more problems. Yes. Now, so we see from here already a very interesting concept that the Shulchan Aruch is taking for granted that there's an idea of fasting on a Yahrzeit. This is black and white in the Shulchan Aruch. Taking for granted. Now, is that Gemara a source? That's what we started with. The Gemara says it's not necessarily provable from there. But by the time of the Shulchan Aruch, they already took for granted this idea that people fast on the date of Yahrzeit. Now, I came across another very interesting halacha, also I would think very unknown. Halacha says, it's a Mishabura, Chafetz Chaim just slips it in over there. It's a little bit later on. This is Siv Katan Mem Vav. Chafetz Chaim quotes a shla. I got this on the sheet there. Second thing. Tov lis anos yom shemes bo rabo muvak. It's good for a person to fast on a yearly basis on the yurt site of one's main Rebbe. Ki chayi bechvodo yoser mekavid aviv. One owes greater honor and respect for one's Rebbe than even one's parent. Right, the Gemara talks about Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabo. You can only return one thing. You found in the street a lost item that belonged to your father, a second lost item that belonged to your Rebbe. You can only do one first. The Rebbe gets precedence. If it's your Rebbe Muvak, it's your main Rebbe, main person who taught you Torah, they get precedence. There's an idea. Yeah, I was one of them. When Reb Henoch Leibowitz passed away, the Reshiva of Chafetz Chaim, I'm not sure in modern times that this many people tearing Kriya. There were literally hundreds and hundreds, maybe it was even thousands of people tearing Kriya on his, tearing on his day past. And there's a concept of a Rebbe Muvak, of a main Rebbe. And the Chafetz Chaim is bringing here in the Mishnah Berurah that one should fast on the day of a Yahrzeit. Just like one fasts on the day of a Yahrzeit for a parent, there's an inyan to want to fast on the day of a Yahrzeit for a Rebbe.
How do you choose
a name? So that's a very good question. I was waiting for someone to ask. I'm not saying I'm waiting with a good answer. You know, for yeshiva bacher, in a certain sense, it's easier. A person learns in yeshiva for many years, and there's a Rosh Yeshiva that you learned a lot of your Torah from, that's, in many ways, that's clear cut. You know, let's say a person had the schus to, play daven here in the Young Israel of Miami for 40 years, and Rabbi Lerfel was his rav, you know, did everything for him. Yeah, I could see a person like that, that could be defined as a Rebbe Muvak, and the halacha might be for the day of Rabbi Lerfel's yurtzeit, people like that should be fasting. It's an amazing concept. You know, what happens in the world today is, you know, people go through phases. You know, they live in one community when they're younger, another community when they're older. You know, they might daven in one shul now, daven in different shul. You know, it's not the easiest thing. Right. I don't know that everyone has what they call a Rebbe Mavuk. And you know, I'm not sure fully what constitutes it. You know, if you listen to the rabbi's speech on a Shabbos morning, does that make a Rebbe Mavuk? You know, do you ask him most of your halachic shilas? Does that make a Rebbe Mavuk? You know, what's the defining factor? So, Ed, it's a fantastic question. As usual, that deserves its own share. We'll see. I'm scared of that one. That's not so simple. Okay, but here's where I want to delve in. Here's the next big step. What's the background? What's the reason for this fast? Why is it that one fasts by the date of the death, the Yahrzeit, of one's parent? So if you look on top of your sheets, I found there's a Shach in Yeridea. The Shach, when the Mefarshim there in the Shulchan Aruch says, B'shem de Lavush, Sheyom Zeh Hu Yom Sakana Avuro. The reason why you fast on the date of a Yahrzeit is because it's, excuse the pun, it's a deadly day. It's a dangerous day. She Isra Bo Mazel. He has bad mazel on that day. We always talk about Mazel Tov. Unfortunately, there's also something as a Mazel Ra, as a bad day. Zesh Mesbo Avivo Imo. Lakach Misana Haben. The reason for fasting, self-preservation. The day that one's parent passes away, is it, you know, doesn't matter, you know, how long the person was sick, and you know, lemaisa, the person passed away on this day. It's a bad day for the relatives. And a bad day for the relatives, chas v'shalom, could mean other bad things can happen on that day. So to prevent that, to protect against that, there's this idea of fasting. This is what the Shach is explaining. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch is talking about the concept of fasting by the date of a parent's Yahrzeit is for self-protection. It's better than an insurance policy. Insurance policy only pays out. This protects. Yes.
If you have a bad year, a lot of people look back on a certain year in their life.
Yeah.
This was not a good year.
Right. That could be. But you know what? In a certain sense, it's undefinable. And there is, it's relative to your perception in life, this is a bad year. And it could be it's subjective too. But there's nothing as clear and as objective as death. The day that one's parent passed away, that's definitive. That unfortunately is a sad day. And it's bad mazel. I mentioned last week, you know, it's a big shaila. You know, scheduling a child's wedding the day that the parent has yahrzeit, it's a very big shaila. Not so simple. Right? Because especially now you understand this reason. That's considered a bad omen. It's a bad mazel. So you're going to marry off your child, you're going to walk your child to the chuppah the day that's a bad omen? Not so simple. Right? There are heterim. You know, nowadays, it's not easy to get wedding halls, especially up north. So, okay. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
I think it would be common sense that you don't want to plan that, of course.
Right, right.
I can't think of a situation where it would be mandatory that it's done on the third side.
Right.
It's simply off the table.
Right, right, right. Right, but you know, planning a wedding date usually involves four parties. The bride, the groom, his parents, her parents, and sometimes there's more than four parties. Hopefully everyone's married. You know, it could be eight parties, you know. Six parties. Yeah. So it gets very tricky. But you're right. You're 100% right. Is ideally, this is the type of thing, it's kedai to avoid. Now, but this is not the only reason. And I'll show you the Chassam Sofer has a different take why we why one would fast on a Yahrzeit. If you look in the middle of the sheets, this is a friend summarizing the halachas. Most poskim say this first reason, which I mentioned, that's the main reason why one fasts. Ulam das chasam sofer sheker tam hu mishum tikin haneshama shalames. Different idea. The reason why one fasts, it's a benefit, it's a kavod for the nifter. Nothing to do with a bad omen. The reason why one fasts, in a certain sense, is similar to a person saying Kaddish. It's something you could do for them. It's a tikkun. Very interesting. So you have two different reasons. According to most poskim, it's for the first reason, what the Shach said. The reason one fasts is for it's a bad omen that day, self-protection. According to the Chassam Sofer, and perhaps I'll show you others, no. The reason you do it is protection. To protect, is to honor, to be mesaken, to give a schus for the nifter. Your fasting, which is an element of tshuva, is a schus for the nifter. Ideally, it would be a 24-hour fast. But really, with this type of thing, a person could structure it. You know, if they're not up to doing a full fast, perhaps could do half a day fast till chatzos. You know, it would be the type of thing that you would accept the day before to whatever degree you want to shape it.
Is he talking about the custom so fair? Is he talking about a parent?
Parents.
Sibling or
a right. Simply here, we're talking about parents.
Parents, and this would be perhaps fall under the rubric
of keep without
name.
Correct. Yes.
One of the very few
things
you can still do for us.
Correct. I'm not sure, right. Gets at the whole issues of keep without name, achamoso, but yes. But this would be a means of doing something for one's parents. Now, you think about it, there are multiple halachic nafkaminas, whether the reason behind it is bad omen, bad mazel, or is it to give a schus for the nifter. I'll give you one example, which the Chassam Sofer himself talks about. Let's say someone, and unfortunately during the Holocaust, or to be honest, unfortunately, October 7th, the Hulu, you know, there are questions when a person passed away. And it's not clear the date of the death of somebody. What day do you keep? So, let's work that out. If we say the reason is a bad and mazel, to protect yourself. You know, self-protection, it's smart to do it on both days. If one of these days might be
a lot of days.
Huh? Okay. Yeah, let's say it's a reasonable situation where it's one of 2 days. It was either this day or that day. So you're protecting yourself. It's smart, right? You said before, you know, put it off the table for both days. If it's a schus, okay, look, you could pick one date. I'm dedicating this date as a schus. Okay, you want to do more, kol kavod, but it's coming from a different angle. I saw another thing to post in the debate. This could get complicated, also in halacha. Let's say the father and the son were in different continents, different places. It's also very common these things can happen. So the date when the person died, who do you follow? Where the father, the mace was, Let's say the father was living in Israel, the child was living in America. The parent was Nifter, it was already the next day in Israel, but it's still the day before in America. Which date do you go by for the Yahrzeit? Do you go by the father's date? Child's date. So I saw the poskim want to say, if you're going after, if you're doing it for the parents' chus, so you go by the day where they were when they were nifter. If you're doing it for your own protection from a simin ra, when did the bad mazel happen to you? It happened to you in America the day before. Now, I could hear this being debatable. Like, you only died, you know, the person passed away there, it was that date. But if it's coming from the perspective of the relative of the nifter, the child, so then you have to go with the other date. Right. 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 Right, right, right. Now, we're giving this share first and foremost on the halachas of fasting. When it comes to saying Kaddish, there, I think that's more clear that it's for the second reason. The purpose of Kaddish is not your own self-protection. The purpose of Kaddish is a schus for the nifter. That's clear. It's only by a fast, there we're finding these differences. What's the reason behind it?
So if you're unclear of what the day of passing really, Tira really was, and you arbitrarily pick a date, does that become halachically the day of Tira?
So
that you get the amud on that day then?
So yeah.
And what if there are other
Yes,
people
that's a very good question. And there's, unfortunately, during the Holocaust, there are many people that didn't know exactly when their relatives passed away. And what they would do is speak to Rabbanim, and they would set and pick a certain date. So what you're bringing up is how strong is that definition of a day that's distinguishing this day as the Yahrzeit? Would you be able to push another person off for the Amud? That, again, also is his own topic. And
here we know the day. It happens to be that I'm living here and he was living
right,
there.
Right.
But nothing happened to me.
Not true.
No, nothing happened to
Try
me.
Try calling your phone.
I'm saying it's a byproduct, right?
Correct.
So now, I'm saying.
I'll tell you the difference, the way I understand the Shach. The way the Shach is saying it is that you view the date, unfortunately,
no.
of a parent.
I'm sorry to say that.
Right.
But I mean,
Right. Right, no, this is, I must say, you know, this is a sensitive topic. This is a tricky topic, and, you know, the biggest fights you always have in Shul, unfortunately, really, Berger, what you brought up, is battling. Right. Right? It's really the most sensitive, touchy topic, and, you know, ideally. But the way I understand the Shach is understanding this is a bad date for what happened to you. Obviously, it stems from the fact that the parent passed away. But it's viewed in your life. That's why for future reference, if a person, you know, wants to schedule something, you know, this is not the day to do it. So it hit you in America a different calendar date than it did over there.
Yeah, but that's
what happened. No, I can hear that, Sal, we just go, the mace is the main factor. That's what really your argument. The mace is the main factor, so you go with that day.
Look, if it happens toward the very end of the day, and we're in the same place, and I didn't hear about it, you know, I don't see how that's any different than it happened. You know, it happened on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. I don't find out about it until 7 hours later. No, because it wasn't Shabbos anymore in Eretz Yisrael. It happened on now Saturday night. It's, you know, 9:30 at night, but it's Shabbos here, right? It's like, okay, so I mean, I'm just saying, like, there are days like that also where there's no way that I'm finding out.
Yeah.
So October 7th, which is awful. Okay, so today we heard about it that day. We heard about it almost in some places. They heard about
instantly.
It happening all over the world, right? But Lisa, if this was 65 years ago, no one was able to hear about it.
Correct.
On that day as it was happening. But we would have heard about it Sunday night.
Right.
We would have never been able to hear about it. On.
Right.
So the effect would have been entirely different.
Yes,
Josh,
indeed.
Where a person in America hears about a parent here in Eretz Yisrael when it's Motzei Shabbos there, it's Shabbos here, let's say, or even middle of the week, does that mean the person is not even an Odi yet because the parent hasn't been Nifter yet Lagabi?
Right, if you're on Shabbos, it's right. It's a whole tricky.
Not only that, like they've already done everything in Eretz Yisrael, and we're here. And not only do we find out, your father passed away. Not only that, they buried him already. And I mean, the whole thing is done. Everything
correct.
Is done. Not really. I mean, I'm just saying.
That's a sad case. Okay, so hold off. This is a whole Pandora's box once you start separating the parents from the children, even before they're in Nifter. But hold on. I want to show one other very interesting nafkamina that I found in Halacha. I mentioned before that the Mishabura applies this Halacha also to one's Rebbe Muvak, his chief teacher. I found that Elia Rabbah argues in that and says it does not apply to one's Rebbe. And the reason he says is the following. Since the whole reason why we fast, Eliyarava assumes like the Shach, is because the sakana of a dangerous day that only applies to a parent, not to a Rebbe. Flesh and blood, when your parent dies, that sets off an element of bad mazel for you. When a Rebbe passes away, it's a different thing. Not a bad mazel for the student. That's only by flesh and blood. Now, the Shla, the Chavetz Chaim, who's bringing it, held the opposite way. He held, no, the reason why you fast, like the Chassam Sofer, is because of kavod. The reason you fast is to give something to that person, give something to the father, which would also apply to one's Rebbe. So this is another very interesting nafkamina they bring from the Elia Rabbah really versus the Shla. Sounds like the way we're understanding the Chafetz Chaim is the Chafetz Chaim is actually on the second tzad. Chafetz Chaim understands that the reason why I'm fasting is to give a kavod to one's parent, which would follow, you also give that honor and that schus one's Rebbe. Eli Rabbah is saying, no, it doesn't apply. It's only by a sakana. And sakana is only by parent to child, not teacher to student. Very interesting. Now, halacha l'maisa, what do we do? So, like most things, good machlokas. I found, this is what my friend brings on the bottom over here. Very interesting. I want to read the whole thing through. He says, "Kamagdoli olam hinagub bezmaneu shadoris cholshim." In our generations, where people are weak, sheimis anim beyartzeit. You do not fast on a yartzeit. Ella marbin b'liman atorah v'mishnayis uvitzdakah. You try to learn extra, you learn mishnayis, which directly works for neshama. Give tzedakah liyul nishmas ames. He says this is also brought in the Sefer Mishmar Smachos, Shekin Tzivar Agon Rabbi Kiva Eger Levanov. So Shlo Yisan Abi Yartzeit. Even in the days of Rabbi Kiva Eger, he would tell his family not to fast on his Yartzeit. Rak Yimadu, Kol Me'es La'es. They should learn for the entire day. O Yisku Achim Shiyimadu. Interesting. Or you should hire other people to learn. Sponsor a day of learning in a yeshiva. Right? They have it up there. V'chein Bito, Eishes Rabbeinu Chassam Sofer, the daughter of Rabbi Kiva Eger, the second wife of the Chassam Sofer, Tzivsul of Vanel Shleizano, she went after her father and said her children shouldn't fasten her yartzeit. That was a few hundred years ago. The Kachos of Be'erchas Rabbeinu, a little closer to home, the stipler Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, Shekios Yaakov Omer Levno, he told to his son Reb Chaim, Shetzlenu Nogel Letznom, our minog is not to fast. V'chein Noeg Agon Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shol Letznom. And his son listened. And he says the reason is, Shetzom Etzlenu Gorm Bet Torah, our fast days cause a person not to learn too much Bittel Torah, the Adif Lomol Inish Mesameis, and it's better to learn as a schus for the mace. Ulam, however, he brings a governor of Yashav, Hayamarish, and Mishi Bechilta Lotzum, Yashav with Paskin, to whoever has the possibility to fast, Shadava Yifr Lamudo, Mibli, without it hurting your learning, Adiv Shayitzim Kedin Ashulchan Arafa Poskim. It's better to fast just like the din, which is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch and Poskim. So practically what that would mean is you have two opinions to rely on. A person who physically finds himself, I would say there's two factors. First and foremost, a person's health. If a person is able to function, fasting is hard for him. He can't do anything. You have to spend most of the day resting. Okay. You don't necessarily have to do that. There's definitely clear tzadim from poskim for hundreds of years that didn't fast. Okay? If a person, though, physically is up to it, that's a different story. This is something on the table. It's a halacha and shulchan aruch. At the same time, there's another factor of bittul Torah. But that's also weighed. You know, it depends how much Torah you're learning during the day. A person who's a rav, someone in yeshiva spending his day learning, okay, that's a cheshbin. Okay, maybe one shouldn't fast if it'll take away from one's learning. But if a person is learning, you know, he's working, okay, it may not make that big a difference if he's fasting or not fasting, if he has coffee in the morning, didn't have his coffee in the morning. So there's more room for the Shulchan Aruch, for this halacha, for one to keep like this. And I don't think it matters what a person did in the past. You know, because, like I said, I think this is a halacha. It's not so well known. It just became over a bottle because a lot of people didn't do it over time. Like anything else, go through the halacha. You see it. You learn it. It's a different thing. And it's a new thing to be weighed and asked. Okay, the Yahrzeit coming up. Should I fast? Should I fast even half a day? That was brought up. You know, a person could even fast from the morning to chatzos. You know, that's something. Should a person do that? Right? That's literally just missing your morning coffee. So, you know, there's what to gain. We see from the two reasons. It's what to gain in self-protection, self-insurance, insurance salesman. But there's also what to gain as giving a schus. I want to end with an interesting story I heard years ago. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, famous speaker, tremendous Talmid Chacham, Rav Rosh Yeshiva, you know, his story in life was not an easy one. You know, he might have had his father's cookie company supporting him in his years learning in yeshiva, but I believe he lost his mother when he was a young bacher. And I remember he came to speak, Rebbe in Shiva in Brooklyn. We unfortunately lost the Talmud, and he was a very good speaker to come, and we're late. And he spoke about what it meant to him, and he lost a parent at a young age. And he said his Rebbe, Rav Pam, and he was his Rebbe Muvak, that told him the following mashal. He said, you know, we believe that when a person's nifter, it's just going into a different room. And the neshama's alive, they're just not able to be in this world. But they're still here. It's really like a person going on a journey. And they're in a different place. Now, what happens when you're in camp and you're away from your parents? You know, if your parents would send you regards, you feel pretty good. What happens if your parents sent you a letter? Wow, there's even more than a regards I got from a friend. Something to read, letter, things to do.
Send a salami.
Right? Or even best, they sent you a package to camp. filled with exciting stuff, you'd be elated. He says, we have those same things now. He says, parent passed away, say Kaddish. That's regards. He wasn't talking about fasting. But, you know, fasting, that's a letter. You can learn Torah, learn some Mishnayos for them, that's a full package. And you see, there are a lot of different things that one could do for a nifter, and it's really meaningful. Really, really meaningful. You know, it's meaningful. We talked about today fasting, even for a person's self, for his own protection, possibly. But for sure, you know, animam b'muna shlema, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. Anyone who's ever been to Eretz Yisrael, I'll tell you to visit there. And also, it's not one of those spots necessary on the tourist, you know, list, right? And even the tour guides don't take you there. But I used to go there a lot. I was right by yeshiva. There's a base of kfaros right off Chof Shmuel HaNavi. Bar Ilan is Sanhedrin base of kfaros. You know, Yerushalayim, the most well-known ones are Har Zeisim, which is not so easy to access nowadays, right next to the Makom HaMikdash, and Har Menuchos. Okay, nowadays people have to get into Beit Shemesh. But the third base of kfaros, which is, the Svardim recognize it already, is the Sanhedrin Beis HaKfaros. There happens to be Rabbi Avadi Yosef is buried. Yeah? But Shmuel Berenbaum is buried there. But the first, careful what I say, but one of the great people who were first buried there, all types of Israelis, it's a general Israeli cemetery. One of the people who wanted to be buried with all the general people from Israeli society was someone called a tzaddik in our times, Rabbi Aryeh Levine. Amazing, amazing tzaddik. He was the one who went around the prisons, the early founding of the state. Amazing, amazing person. He happens also to be Rabbi Yosha's father-in-law. He was a big tzaddik. On his kever is written, anyone who comes to visit my kever should say, Animam Ibn Shlema, that you believe in Tchias HaMesim, and Bez Hashem, the day's going to come, going to arise from here. And one of the most beautiful things is you go to that kever, many times you'll find all types of Israelis, secular Israelis even, davening by that kever. He had such an impact on the general Israeli society. They go there. But to say that, those words of Ani Mamin, to understand that we believe, you know, fortunately, you go through these, you get the news flashes, and another few soldiers were nifter. It's heartbreaking, sad. But you know what? They're in a good place, and they're going to be there. They're not going anywhere. They're only going up. And anything we do is a schus for them to go up more and more. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should soon see the day, like it says in that kever by Rabbi Levine of Tchias HaMesim, where we see all these people, and they're coming to thank us for all the things that we did on their behalf. Huh?